Christ Jesus, in Yahshua, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Lord and our Savior, the one in whom we live and move and have our being, divine, as John 15 speaks of, that we were grafted into. The new life that we now live is in Him. We live not for ourselves, but for Him who died for us and rose again. I greet you in His name, the name that is above every other, the name by which you can bind every demonic force in this world. You have authority over them. You can move them out of the way. They can be neutralized in a moment, in a second, if you just decide, and the Spirit of God leads you into that, to do so. Yes, you have authority in the situations that you're in. You have authority over massive armies and hordes of demons that would seek to come at you. You, in Jesus' name, can neutralize, stop, deal with them. So it's, you know what, I know we're coming into a time where the saints of God, the true saints of God, not the fake ones, but the true ones, will, you know, God's got to sort of illuminate your mind to these things. He's got to sort of expose all of us to this, where He sort of opens it up so that we can see it. But we're coming into a time now where we're going to understand, because the Spirit of God is going to make it known to us, what we have in Christ, the power that we have in Christ, and then how to move in that, how to use that, how to go forward in that. Because, you know, the world is very, very, very afraid of the children of God doing that. That's why it works so hard on your mind, and to try to get inroads into your mind so that you defeat yourself, because they can't defeat you. I'll say that again. They work very hard to try to get into your mind so that you will defeat yourself, because they cannot defeat you. See, the world cannot defeat a child of God. If you remain in Him and His words remain in you, you will bear fruit. If you follow what Jesus tells you to do, you will be an overcomer. And if you're an overcomer, you will have, just like Jesus, John 16, have overcome the world. So they know they can't defeat you unless you defeat yourself. So you've got to work with them to defeat yourself. You have to participate in that defeating process. Once you're now in Christ Jesus, the whole thing flips. You know, prior to coming into Christ, you're tossed to and fro. You're being used. You're being abused. You're subject to your flesh. You've got no self-control. You've got, you know, you're just all over the place. It's the exact polar opposite. Just as light is opposite from dark, so is the kingdom and the children of light as compared to the kingdom and the children of darkness. You now have power. You now have authority. You now have the ability to actually choose. You know, the children of darkness, they don't have choices such. See, they feign like they do, but they're all slaves. They all have to, they have to do what they're told. We do what the Spirit of God leads us into, but we always have choice, because God wants His people to have choice. But we choose His will because we love Him. We choose His will because we want to serve Him. There, on their side, they beat and devour, and they whip their own into place. Get in line. You know, who do you think you are? You don't yet have rank. You haven't done enough abominations to work your way up. How dare you think you can be president? Oh, whatever. Anyways. So, yes, of course. Oneness with the world, or oneness with the Spirit of God. oneness with Christ Jesus or oneness with the devil and his kingdom. You know, there is only those two kingdoms. Period. So, when people are all worried about, you know, stuff going on in different parts of the world, yes, there's manifestations of that, but realize there are only two kingdoms in operation in this world. And God allows for the existence of that, of the Luciferic kingdom, because it serves a purpose for what he's doing with his children. See, you know, I've thought about this some, and I guess when you're thinking about it, you're praying about it too, because it's on your mind and it's on your heart. But it's like, okay, see, God has shown plenty of times that in a moment, if he wants to just wipe something out, wants to get rid of it, wants to dispatch it, remove it, that is not a difficult thing for him. If he wants something gone, it's gone. Oh man, it's gone. It has gone fast. So if he wants, and I'll give you a few cases in point in scriptures, and then there's natural examples of that even in our day, but like Nebuchadnezzar, look at all that I've done. Look at all that I've laid out for myself. I've made myself this name, speaking on top of his roof garden. God warned him in a dream. Daniel interpreted the dream. 12 months later, he's up there. Before the words finish leaving his lips, the angel of God spoke and said, so you think you're all that? And basically stripped him to nothing. The man lost his mind and basically became like a animal in the field, running around, and nails grew long, hair grew out, lost his position, lost everything. And God also in that process showed too that once he came back, God took him out and then allowed him subsequently to go back into his, go check it out, Book of Daniel, allowed him subsequently to go back into his position again. And see, that is also as important as God taking him down, God allowing him to go back into his position again. God showed, look, if you're in a position, you're there because I would have you to be there to serve my purpose. And if you're, and I can take you out and I can put you back in. I can do whatever I want to with you, because he is God. Yahushua HaMashiach, he is God. Jesus is Lord, has authority over all. And the issue that people see, he gives people room. He gives people room to see, okay, what will you do with that free will that I've given you? What will you do with your ability to choose? Will you choose me? Will you choose life? Or will you choose the enemy, the seduction that's there, the thing that feeds to your flesh, that tries to tell you that you're God, tries to tell you that you are something that you're not? Will you go that route, or will you go with the truth in the kingdom and give it up and bow your knee before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and serve him and him alone? Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. So will you go that route? And will you go that route in spite of every obstacle that is in your way, in spite of everything that is thrown at you that is contrary to the will of God? See, the kingdom of the enemy serves a purpose for us. It is there to, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? Okay, but against spiritual wickedness, all those things, Ephesians 6, that it talks about, we wrestle against the entire demonic the force of this world and all of its hierarchy and its structure and all of the minions that are there. We wrestle against that. We fight against that. We war against that. Now, I thank God I had a chance to in my slightly younger days to wrestle and to know what that sport was. Now, wrestling, not that WWF thing that you guys see. No. The Olympic style. Greco-Roman, yes, that kind. It's hard. It is a hard sport. You will be amazed how fast you get tired when you wrestle, because you're clashing hand to hand against somebody putting all of everything that they are, all of their strength, all of their power, all of their ability, their skill, their knowledge, everything that they've worked on, every drill they've done, they're bringing all of that against you. And you are bringing all of that against them. And it is exhausting. You know, wrestling match is not a very long thing. If you see, a match, you know, there's when I did it, there was the three minute periods with small break in between. So a match, if you go the full distance, the full length of it, it'll last for 9 minutes of actual wrestling. You are exhausted, at the close of that, because this is not your stair stepper. This is not your elliptical or whatever people use these days. No, when you wrestle, it is hard. But you get into shape like you would not believe if you are in that kind of a sport, because you have no choice. Your body, when it is tested, your body, when it is stretched, it responds. And for the sake of survival, your body fitness level increases to match the demands placed on it. It either does that or it just collapses and dies. But the human body is incredibly resilient. God made something, an amazing, amazing, amazing creation when he made the human body. So that said, your spiritual man, when you are tested, when you are stretched, when you face all trials and tribulations of all these diverse kinds, consider it pure joy. Thank the Lord. Because, it is the trial of your faith that is doing something amazing in and through your life. And he has to put us into and through these situations, because it is in that you find out who you are in him and what he can do in and through you. So, that's why too, I have, that's another place where, and you guys that know me, I have enough issues with the false church, because, here's another place where they have stripped people of the inheritance that they have in Christ and given them a false doctrine, a false life, a false thing. Here's one. They coddle you. They try to protect you and shield you from basically following Christ. See, Jesus was not, when the Father sent Jesus into the world, he didn't set him up with every comfort and he didn't set him up with an easy life while he was here. Jesus went through, in the natural, a difficult existence, a tough existence. And in that process of him going through and living and experiencing a tough existence, he revealed that, he came to do the will of the Father, not his own. And when he faced what would be the ultimate challenge, which was the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he that knew no sin was soon to become sin for us, because he would absorb the sins of the entire world, throughout the entire existence of the world, it would all be absorbed into him. It would all be dumped into him. And he would take it and kill it and bury it. Done, finished, over, in him on the cross. And he, when he was looking at that and facing that, I mean, that blows my mind. But, I mean, can you imagine that? He that knew no sin became sin on that tree, staked to the tree, that the new tree of life. As Moses raised up the serpent in the desert, that snake in the desert that they all looked to, so the Son of God must be lifted up, that everyone that looks on him shall have eternal life. Wow. Okay. Jesus Christ, when he was facing the terror and the horror of what that cross would be, and what he, even there in the humanity of who he was as well, the Son of God, the Son of Man, praying, Lord, if it be possible, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but thine be done. Not my will, but thine be done. That is the place of victory. That is the place of overcoming in this world. Not my will, but thine be done. The people of God need to rediscover that prayer. They need to be praying that all the time. Lord, your will, not mine. Your desire, not mine. Your choice, not mine. Here's maybe what I'm thinking in this situation. Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Sure, let me put that out there. Because that's where I don't want to go through the cross if there's any other way. But if there's not, if this is your plan for me, if this is your purpose for me, if this is your desire, if there is something greater than me that you need to do and you want this life to be that for that purpose, absolutely. Lord, not my will, but thine be done. God needs the people that are willing to jump on the hand grenade that's thrown into the trenches and the courage and the heart to do it. He doesn't need cowards. The cowards are outside. He doesn't need the cowards. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? What can the world do to you? What can the world possibly do to you? Can they touch your soul? No, unless you allow them, unless you open up your entire being and say, sure, come on in now. Yeah, then they can, but not without your free will, not without you choosing it. If you choose the kingdom of God, if you choose life, if you choose light, if you choose truth, they can't touch you. Yeah, they can come against your body in little ways here and there. So what? So what? Momentary discomfort, momentary whatever, that's not you. That's like getting a scratch on your car. All right, or getting banged up on your car. You're fine. You're okay. The car's a little bit beat up, but so what? Keep going. Keep going, because even in and through that, God knows what he's doing. And he's got a greater purpose. He is revealing that he's in control, even in this whole thing. See, when the children of light, when the children of God, when we walk through this world, and when we, despite all odds, live and move and have our being in him, when we thrive in the midst of adversity, when we go into a situation, and here it is, all the demonic hordes of hell have been sent to try to go after you, and you walk into that in Jesus' name, and you bind every one of them. You neutralize every one of them, where they have zero power, zero ability to come after you, zero ability to do anything. Their entire 20-year strategy is just now falling to the ground into nothing. When you do that, because you're listening to the Spirit of God and His power moves through you, it shows. It shows, one, who's in control. He's in control. All of their posturing, all of their Hollywood lighting, all of everything that they've got, it doesn't matter. Doesn't help. Doesn't, their purposes can be brought to nothing in a moment. You reveal that just by your very existence in following Christ. Now, I know there's a lot of these ridiculous false ones that would claim truth, but really not be servants of truth. They're out there. Of course they are. Don't, you know what, look, realize and understand the spirit that's behind people. And once you do, just keep going. I mean, if God tells you to do something about it, if He has you to pray in a particular direction, absolutely. But then, as soon as you just keep moving with Him. You know, I've kind of been thinking about, see, you can spend your life, if you, see, your time is very, very valuable. Your time in this life, in this window, you have a window of time here. Appointed unto every man is a time to die, and then the judgment. So, for you and I, we're here for a very short window. And when it's done, it's done. That's it. When you leave this life, when you and I leave this world, that's it. This world and all of the things that are here that try to come after us, it can't access you anymore. It can't come after you anymore. It can't test and try and... So all of that is just for this short window here. And your time is valuable. So what you do with that time that God has given you here, because even as you're listening to this, the you're getting closer to your departure from this life. So how now do you live? So you can spend your life on a witch hunt and talking about all the bad things that are out there and all the bad people and all. Of course, we know that. We know this stuff. This has been established. We know that we're, you know, that there's a kingdom of darkness that's at war with the children of light. Excuse me. We know that that there are enemies and all of this stuff and different ways that they try. Yeah, of course, that's all there. This is not a surprise. So, you know, but I mean, and we do need to bring certain things into the light, reveal them, show them. Yes, we do need to do that. But how you spend your time, you know, kind of a little guideline I'm trying to work with in my own mind is 85-15. 85%, 15%. 85% of the time I want to spend focusing on solutions, on putting out light and truth and all of those. I mean, because the world needs that right now. And it needs the kingdom and the children of God to do that, to put that forward. Because if we don't, I mean, they're not going to get it from anywhere else. So 85% of the time, focusing there. 15% revealing and exposing the strategies of the enemy, calling things out for what they are, revealing. So somebody like, you know, Obama. Okay, just revealing that for what it is. Now, he's not... Look, obviously, he serves the dark side. Fine. It's a given. Everybody knows that. Anybody with any eyes to see sees that. The man's a liar. The man lies. There's a father of lies. It's not God. So that's okay. So that's good enough. You know what he is. Fine. You don't have to go on much further than that, because anything else after that is not and should not be a surprise to you. All right. Good. Cool. So move on. If you need to draw attention to something, do it. But once you've done it, move on with light, truth, solutions. Because there is a satanic strategy as well to just try to get you wrapped up in focusing on the problem. And there's a lot of people I've seen that have gotten caught into that trap. Good people, people that do love God, but they've gotten caught up in this thing where their entire time is spent on this woe is me, the world is collapsing, the world is falling apart. You know what? The very fact that you would even have the ability to stop and say that and for people to hear you reveals that you're in a better situation than most people have been in most of the times and eras in humanity. Because in so many places throughout history, you haven't had free speech. You haven't had the ability to say and to reveal and to show and to expose things in the light for what they are. You haven't had that. There's, throughout history, there has been massive crackdowns on light and truth, summary executions right then and there. You know, you want to just do a little reading. So just the very fact that you have that shows you're in a better situation than most. Yes, things are going to get bad, but things can also be good. See, when the Spirit of God is with you, you are, and you continue to press through with light and truth, you're not defined by your external situations. See, the worlders are always defined by their external situations. What do you have? Who are you with? What are you wearing? All flesh, all carnal, five senses, yada, yada, yada. Boring, stupid, dead people. Just, I mean, ridiculous people. Who cares? Everything you got, all you're out of fashion already. Ha! Who cares? I surely don't. Anyways, stupid existence, worthless. Nobody cares. People go home early for your funeral. They don't even bother to stay to the end. Kingdom people, light, truth. God, with us, when you walk through this life, when you walk through this world, He's going to focus you on that which matters. And your life and your existence is not going to be defined by your external situation. See, that's one reason why God allows us to go through stretching situations, to go through difficult circumstances. Because when you do that, you go, if you're following Him, you'll go within. And when you go within, because the kingdom is within, then all of a sudden you can be in the exact same situation you were in a week ago, even a day ago. And if you go within, you'll be praising God. You'll be looking to Him. And you will have joy in the midst of a bad situation. You'll have peace in the midst of something difficult. Because your existence is not defined by your external situation, but by the Spirit of God that wells up within you, that river of living water that flows through your belly. That is what makes you in every situation. So you can go anywhere then. Look, there's a freedom in that. You can go anywhere and do anything and have joy and have peace. You know how liberating that is? To be able to go anywhere and do anything and in that have peace and joy and all the fruits of the Spirit manifest because you have tapped into that which is the kingdom of God within, where the Spirit of God now dwells within you and Christ lives in you and in Him. You live and move and have your being. The Word of God is manifest in your life. Truth is manifest in your life. The world would love, would give, they want that, but they can't find that anywhere else, and they refuse to come into the light because they don't want their deeds to be revealed because they are evil. So they can't, so they have to fake it. They have to fake it. You know what? The world and all the people they prop up, all of their celebrities, and I know some of them. Ridiculous. Because they're all slaves. Even those little moments that they, you know, get to, you know, get a little window or a little break, they got to get back on that treadmill, quick. You got to get back on that little Ferris wheel. Run, hamster, run. Run, 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 run. Better keep going. You better not get old. You better not get sick. You better never die. Because the second that you die, you go on into a Christless eternity. Yeah, okay. You wanna play that game? Sure. You know what? It's what's comical is they call us the people of the rebellion. They call us the rebellious people because we don't play their game. We give no validity and no credibility to their entire system. It's stupid. We know it's stupid. We know that they're ridiculous. They think because they get a bunch of people to agree with them, look, you're all agreeing with each other on the deck of the Titanic that everything's just fine. Oh yeah, it's fine. Try to positive will those holes in the side of your bow closed. You're sinking. You're sinking. This is your last chance to get right. This is your last, and you can't get right. That's just it. You've got to bow your knee before your Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ, turn your life over to Him, and allow Him to call the shots, and for Him to be the one leading you. That's it. That's your only way off of this wreck of a world. Without that, all right, good luck. But you know what? For us, for God's children, for God's people, hey, be encouraged. Oneness with God, oneness with the Lord Jesus Christ, or oneness with the world. Those are your two options. Those are the two journeys and the two paths that you can take. You can choose to go the way of the world and seek to become one with it in its many different manifestations, but the same demonic spirit behind it. Or you can choose to go the way of truth, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And even when it gets difficult, and God would, just like He did in John chapter 6, turn and ask the disciples there, after He gives them a difficult teaching, which would drive most people out of their seeker-sensitive churches, when He gives them a hard saying, and a bunch of them run away, and He turns to the disciples, and He says to them, are you guys going to leave too? And they say, Lord, where will we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Lord, I'm not going anywhere unless You're there. I'm not following anything unless You are in it. I am not doing anything unless this is what You reveal. I want to be one with You. That is the prayer of Jesus Christ in John 17 for His people, for His church, for you and for me, that they may be one. Even as I and the Father are one, that they may be one in us. The world may see, know, believe that You have sent the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to be one in Him. We have a high calling. You have a high calling. It's time to live up to it. No more complaining. No more whining. No more excuses. Snap out of it. You're called to be a soldier in the army of God. You're called to be something amazing in the body of Christ. Be that. And enjoy. Enjoy the race. You know, don't just look at the finish line. Enjoy the race. You're in the middle of an amazing adventure. You're in the middle. If you're following Christ, if you've given it all up to Him, you're in the middle of the process of living the abundant life. And you've got to experience the whole thing. You've got to experience the bitter with the sweet. You've got to experience the clashes with the darkness. You've got to experience some things that might seem like loss. But even in that, God says, I work all things for the good of the called. Romans, those called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. You've got to experience those things. That's part and parcel of it. If you didn't experience heartbreak, how would you know what it is to see a longing fulfilled? Oh my gosh. If you didn't experience what it was like to have all the odds stacked against you and everything coming at you and barely, hardly a glimmer of hope, except the one thing that you had was Christ Jesus, and you were holding on to Him, trusting Him, and in that, watching and seeing Him come through for you and turning the whole thing around and in your favor. If you didn't have that, then what? You'd miss it. You'd never understand. God wants you to know. He knows. He wants you to know. He wants you to enjoy. He wants you to experience the fullness of a life called to walk with Him. A life that experiences Him. Gosh, He loves you. He loves you. He's in control. He knows what He's doing with His people. You know, time and again, I've seen that. When I go into different things, different situations, I'm not quite sure, but I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. And when, you know, I've been in some things, even in the last 12 months, where did not, sometimes it's just like, God, you got to help me, because that's it. I got nowhere else to go. Got no one else to trust in. I've got no other option but You. And if You don't come through, then I'm out of here. And you know what? He's always come through. He's always carried me through. He's always brought me. And you know what? Even like the children of Israel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel said to the king, when he said, you better bow down. And they said, look, we do not have to be careful in answering you in this matter. Do whatever you feel like, but we're not bowing. When it comes to this, when it comes to our spiritual loyalty and our allegiance, when it comes to who it is that we serve, nope. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shall you serve. And that is where we are. That is where we will remain. That is what we do. That's what the children of light do. So, all that said, be blessed, love Him, trust Him, know that He is in control. Don't let these things get you down. Serious, don't let these things get you down. God knows what He's doing. And you know what? Too often, too many times, God's people start focusing on the external circumstances, the external situations, and they miss it. They miss what God is doing with them because they allow for that external to define them. They allow for that external to be how they qualify whether God is with them or not. It's a beautiful lesson in the book of Job on that. It's a good time to read your word. Hey, careful with the TV. Lots of trash out there. All of it's coming at your mind. You know, be mindful. Be mindful. Guard your heart, for out of it comes the issues of life. And the gateways into your being. The enemy's always seeking an inroads. And he doesn't need a big space. He doesn't need a big entry. He doesn't... A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. He needs just a little micro dot to try to get in and to throw you off. So commit your entire being to light and truth and God. And whenever you mess up, quick, get right. Stay on that light and on that truth and on that path and on the way. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. God's going to take care of everything else. All right. So, hey, I love you guys. I really, really do. I love all of you. I pray God blesses you and keeps you. And don't worry about anything. Seriously. Worry about nothing. In all things, with prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto Him. He's going to take care of you. All right. Hey, love you. God bless you. Talk to you again sometime soon. All right.